Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Sam.
I have to acknowledge you, too.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, I do.
I'm here.
Welcome to the show today. It's Tuesday, January 21st, as we try to get the show back on track since I've been sick for over a week now.
I know. What's your immune system doing, man?
It's pretty shitty, man. I don't know, man.
Really killing the vibe.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I am killing the vibe.
It's all right. Did you get those shower tablets I told you about?
No, I did not.
I knew you weren't going to.
Well, I didn't have chance. I stayed at home most of the day yesterday. And then I had to work, and then I forgot. And then when I got home, I remembered. I thought, gee, you know, that sounded good. So what is it that you...
So it's like Vicks makes these little tabs, and you put them in the... You just literally toss them on the floor in the shower, and the hot water from the shower, it's almost like... Imagine like a Tide Pod sort of, but it's like a dissolvable tablet, and it just dissolves and all these vapors come up in the shower, and it's amazing.
Oh, wow.
It makes you feel better.
It does, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to try that sometimes.
Sometimes when you're sick, like any, you know, even when like this one stuffed nostril is switching to the other nostril, that like one moment of clarity, you're like,
oh, thank God. Yeah, you know, thank God for some air.
Yeah, just something, anything.
Oh, well. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are on Facebook Live today because we have a guest.
Yes.
We'll be on in just a moment. And just a couple things. So I've been sick. You've been okay, right?
No, I've been all right. Since we stopped that, I've been just like trying to like hustle and find some work and stuff since that.
Yeah.
I just hate the feeling when production's over and you have this like week of nothing to do and you're just kind of like, what am I supposed to do right now?
Like, and you feel about yourself.
Yeah, you're like, what do people do in their free time? I'm like, should I go see a movie? Or should I just like watch a movie in bed? Or I'm just going to go stand over here now.
You should just be depressed that I have no job.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
I know, man. Yeah,
I'm not nervous about it or anything. Yeah. I'm not nervous at all.
Yeah. You just let it slide.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm not panicking slightly inside.
Yeah, so I've had a cold since last Saturday, and it's not going away, you know. But I was at the doctor's; they said it's not the flu.
Yeah.
Because I guess with the flu, the body aches, and you get fever.
Yeah,
that's what the flu is.
We had a girl in my acting class the other day, and she like looked crazy when she walked in, and she was like, I have a stomach flu. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
And she goes,
here,
I went to the doctor. It's not contagious. I immediately didn't believe her. But she was also eating like an economy size bag of like flaming hot Cheetos. And I'm like, that's your choice when you have a stomach flu? She goes, well, there's a method to it. Like, you know, and she was trying to explain to me that like it's the only thing that makes her feel better when she's nauseous. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Flaming hot Cheetos. I just really hate to throw that up.
There you go. Crazy, yeah.
Totally.
Hold on just a second. We'll let you talk in just a moment. We want to complete the intro here. We have a guest who's eager to talk, and that's why he's here.
I know.
We don't bring guests that don't like to talk, because otherwise we'd be wasting our time.
Yeah, we've had one or two.
Yeah,
it was like pulling teeth. You're like, all right, so...
right? Sometimes it's like, why are you here? Right?
Like, I'm like, okay, another question. What's your favorite childhood sport? You know, like...
If you do want us to find us on Facebook, go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook, and you'll see us there. And you can share, you can like, whatever it is that people do.
Yeah.
When they watch something and they like it. I don't know. Yeah. Before we get to our guest, I want to bring this up. This is important news, I think, at least for me, that Ozzy Osbourne revealed he's got Parkinson's disease.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty sad. We've talked about this because both our fathers suffered that before they passed. And it's a cruel disease, you know. It's degenerative. The brain goes, the nervous system goes.
Yeah, it really kind of kills it all.
Yeah.
And there's some other aspects to it that people don't realize. Like there are there's a different form of dementia that can go with it as well.
Right.
That definitely takes you down hard. So I hope he doesn't have that. I mean, it's what happened to Parkinson's with Lewy body is exactly what Robin Williams had, which we mentioned on a different show as well. And that's why he ended up doing the do. Yeah. So that sucks for Ozzy, man.
Yeah, I know. But he says he's feeling better now that he came clean with it. So went public with it and everything. So, but that's pretty sad, you know?
I mean, looking back now, I feel like in just his like movements as he got older too, I feel like I could almost see that.
Yeah.
You know, just in how he carries himself, even his speech a little bit.
Yeah. He is 71 years old. You know, he's getting up there in age.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the rockers are from the 70s and stuff. You know?
I know. It's weird. You see like actors or like old musicians that you saw growing up, you know, and now.
Another old.
I know. Like old Robert farts. De Niro's like 45 forever to me.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Oh, well.
Let's
all
do
right,
it.
We're going to bring on our guest right now.
Welcome.
Rather than have him wait a long time here, we're joined by Paul Lewis Harrell. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Is it Lewis or Louis or how is it pronounced?
You can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Okay. So we'll call you Paul and we'll get away with that.
Lewis, like Louisville, but
right.
When you say Louisville.
Right.
That's where I'm from, actually, also.
Really?
That's the French Kentucky connection there.
Oh, right. Wow.
Of course, St. Louis and Louisiana.
So you're
bougie.
It's bougie.
Exactly.
Like so you're from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's pretty cool, right? That's in the South.
That's in the South.
In the South.
What was that like growing up there?
You just don't know any different. You know, I mean, you're coming up and you just have a regular childhood and once you get out of there, if you do get out of there, then you realize, you go, wow, oh, okay. That was a thing.
Definitely that was a thing.
So what was childhood like for you? Was it pretty normal and everything? Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have. I'm the oldest, and then came my sister Suzanne, and then came my little brother Ross, and we're about 2.5 years apart. And then my brother's
are you guys
years.
Close now?
Yeah, we're pretty close. We're pretty close. I just
That's
had my
nice.
My brother and my nephew Lucas and stuff came out for Star Wars and stuff and did Disneyland and it was great.
Oh, the Star Wars at Disneyland. When you mentioned Star Wars, I thought you meant the movie. I thought, why would they come all the way here to watch the movie?
That's but what they went. Did, and it was for the opening night at the Chinese theater.
Oh, I
and
see.
And I was part of that group called LiningUp.net, which all the Star Wars guys... A shout out to my lining up crew, Star Wars for Life.
Yeah.
And they do this stuff for Starlight Children Foundation, and they line up early, and they get the tickets, and then there's an extra, like, $10 on each ticket cost that goes to the foundation. So.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So they have all kinds of... So you went to the Chinese theater when they had this, right?
Yes, sir.
And they had like a little show in advance before the movie or something like that, no? Like laser show or something, or
well, they do. Well, they had.
That's what they said. I don't know.
I missed the night when they went to the premiere, which was actually like was like 4 days prior to the first night,
right?
Which is like Thursday night. It was like Thursday night at like 6:30 was the first showing, but they had like J.J. Abrams was coming out and stuff and talking at the premiere and stuff. Of course, all the cast and stuff was there. I missed that part, but which was cool because I would have rather just seen the movie with my brother and my nephew,
right?
All for the first time, seeing it. So it was
but great. You get invited to things like this sometimes.
I just happened to because I live right there in the area, right there in the Hollywood and Highland area, and dumb luck, I happened to end up.
Saying, well, I thought you'd say it's because I'm an important actor or something.
It's because I'm an important actor.
So there
I'm
you actually, go. Yeah.
So important.
Well, Paul is an important actor, and we'll get to that in a few minutes.
We're all important actors.
Yes,
we
are.
Every one of us is so important.
Exactly, except for me. I'm
You're
no actor.
Too. You're important too.
Yeah, but I'm not an actor.
I don't think I ever could be one.
You're a secret actor. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. I'd be just myself.
I could print you some sides and just see what you do with it.
Yeah.
You could have a good career. A lot of actors, they just play themselves and they, you know.
Right.
They're interesting to watch.
I'll pass. You know, there's enough actors here in town. I'm not going to get into that.
Your cynicism would be so funny on a big screen, though.
Right?
You're like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Good.
And so you grew up there. Did you go to college?
I did, but that was after I got a GED.
Oh, really?
I didn't actually finish high school.
You didn't finish high school?
Yeah.
Why? Were you like a wild kid? Were you acting out or did you need a job?
I was dumb.
You were dumb?
No.
Well, that's true.
As long as I wasn't deaf and dumb, so that was helped. But no, long story short, it was just, you know, high school's high school, and, you know, I was a bit of a class clown.
Right. And you hated it. You hated school.
I hated it. I like certain aspects of it. Of course, that's how I came into contact with drama. You know, I got into drama from my freshman year at Bethlehem High School. Right. And that was like, oh, I could do this as a profession.
Yeah. You know? So they couldn't just turn you into a student that sits in a chair for 8 hours a day. You just couldn't do that.
I've got a lot of excuses, but really, mainly they're all a lot of BS excuses. So,
excuse-itis, as my mother would always call it growing up.
Procrastination.
Oh yeah.
And
that's okay. That's something that a lot of people, I'm sure, in high school would love to be able to do. You know, just say fuck it and drop it and get out of school. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I did that at. My parents sent me to school I didn't like after I had been to school where all my friends were and everything. But they talked me into going to this professional school because in Israel, you know, at 18 you go to the army, right? So they wanted me to have something in advance so in the army I wouldn't just be any soldier. I'd have some kind of a profession in the Air Force or something.
Gotcha.
So they sent me to that school, but it was too straight for me. There were no kids. No kids I could really befriend that were my style. So I started acting out, you know. And then I dropped school, dropped out, and went and got a job. My dad didn't talk to me for a whole year because of that. That's how my dad dealt with things.
Yeah, that's just kinda, the silent I feel like treatment, then.
Yeah. And there's still people that do that, you know.
Sure.
I've inherited it from him, and then ever since I've learned how to not do that to people.
Good.
You know?
I'm sure your kids appreciate that. Love the silent treatment. It's the most mature.
Right. Isn't it, though? Yeah. So, I mean, it makes you crazy when your dad doesn't speak to you for a year, you know. So then when he finally came into my room one day and he said, you know what, if you go back to school, actually, it wasn't a year. It was more like maybe 3-4 months out of school.
Yeah.
And then he said, why don't you go back and finish the year, and then we'll send you to America. I'm like, wow, that sounds great to me, you know. So that's what I did.
Yeah, and you need a little bribery.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Everyone loves a little bribery.
Right. So you never know. I may not even have ended up here if I was a good student at the time and just stayed there, you know. But who knows? I mean, life is the way we make it, I guess, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
That's what we say the karma is.
Yeah. I think life is pretty much like forks on the road, you know. You get to make a choice, you decide this or that, and you go, and that's what you have to live with, you know, pretty much.
I like to say it's also literal forks in the road.
What's that?
It's also like literal forks in the road.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stabs you.
Just stabbing your car, causing problems.
Right.
Holdups.
But it's all a bunch of decisions, really. And sometimes you wonder if I went the other way, what would have happened, you know? But I'm happy here, so that's cool. So you dropped out of school. Now, did you get a job? I mean, or were you just playing around all day?
Well, if you drop out of school, you're going to have to get a job because, like, well, if you're not going to do that, then you're going to have to get a GED job, boy.
Yeah, right.
Snoop Doggy Dog going to have to get a job.
So then you went to college, but did you do it because you wanted to, or how did that happen for you?
Well, you know, I was an artist, and, you know, of course, thanks to my mom, you know, showing me that at a young age. And I've played a lot of video games. Of course, I was also into acting and drama club.
Cool. So you're a creative type.
Mm-hmm.
For you, school is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. I mean, there was certain, I mean, I had art class and stuff. I liked that. And then, but, you know, it's society. And I was always kind of like a different kid anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
that's the problem
with
school.
Pretended to be preppy.
Yeah.
And some, and then I was like, you know, I can't.
Yeah. So you started taking a painting and stuff. And that was in Kentucky still, right?
Correct.
And is there a lot of work there for actors and stuff? No.
Hmm. I honestly don't know. I mean, I guess you could do theater there. I mean, depending on, but of course, you know, you're going to have to rise up and really, really beat out all the competition, because all the competition there, say you got actors that are in that region.
Right.
There's only a certain amount of work to go around. So you're getting to know every actor there.
Right.
And you're in competition with the same types of actors that you're there with. And that, so it's you're a big fish in a small pond, but nonetheless, I mean, it's still just as challenging, probably even more challenging, to do it in an area that's not as big, say like you know, Atlanta or New York or Los Angeles, you know, because you just have to, you know.
Right.
And then there's all the other just conversations that you have to have with email back and forth and just trying to find the work, you know. I mean, it's all.
That's hard, you know.
That's the work.
That's the hardest part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to go to acting school and stuff? Did you learn acting? How did you get into it? How did you know? How did you learn how to do it?
Well, I just learned how to do it. I was a freshman in high school, and I was going through the orientation process, and they were showing me the electives, you know, 4-H, ROTC, which is the military.
Right.
All these other electives and drama club. Okay, that's something that, you know, I could see my, at that moment it spoke to me, and I said, I could see myself as a professional actor.
Right.
Had what alcoholics refer to as a moment of clarity. And so I just did it, and then I auditioned for a role in that, and then I booked it. I booked the first audition I ever had, and I guess she saw that I was passionate about it, and I miss Sandman, so it was great. That was what started it all for me.
Yeah,
age 15. So,
and did you just like love going to rehearsal? You like,
yeah.
How did you feel before your first performance? What was that like for you?
Not fun.
Yeah,
the butterflies in the stomach, and my God, all those people are going to be out there, and
yeah, it's go time.
It's like that every time, you know. It's like that every time. I got back into the theater over like 20 years ago, just this past summer.
This
production called Siren Call with Yola Cora and Annalise Scott. Hi, guys. And I was so happy to be able to have that experience to say, okay, this is the core of how I started out, and this is me returning to it 20 years later, and then this is, you know, of course, you can't drop any line. I mean, there's...
Right.
It's all live. We're not going to go... And cut.
Line.
Let's adjust. Yeah. Let's adjust, make some adjustments, and let's shoot it again. No.
Right.
It's all boom.
Yeah.
One shot, one take, one kill.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So then you realized you're in a small, confined place. You need to move to Hollywood, right? So you moved here. How old were you when you moved out here? Do you remember?
I was 28.
Oh,
I was 28 years old. I'd lived in Orlando, Florida for about 8 years after I got out of high school.
Oh, wow. And, what were you doing there?
I went to school for game design and development, because I kind of just changed gears and said, okay, well, let's do video game design and software engineering. And I was like,
wow, not for you, huh?
Not for
me. But you wanted to do it.
I like the idea of creating, you know, because you have to create it from the ground up. And so it's basically like the equivalent of being a screenwriter.
Right. You have to create something.
But also the producer and this and that and the other. So, you know, there's...
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I know. I was working for a video game company back in Vegas in the 90s. And I remember, I mean, they had like... It was hard work, you know. You have designers, you have programmers, you have the artists, the animators, all that, and the music. It's a big deal. I don't know how they even managed to put it together.
Yeah, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen on projects like that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, on pretty much any film project, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, true. So for 8 years you were there, and then you realized it's not for you.
Well, I got the degree in 2004, and then I just kind of wondered.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, I just kind of floated. You know, I was looking for some jobs, tried to get a job at EA, which they're out there at EA Tiburon in Orlando.
Right.
And it just, I mean, I when I went to school, I was with other students that had already had bachelors of science in software engineering.
Wow, so that's tough, yeah.
And they're just they're writing code. That's they're just code machines. They're just like code monkeys,
right?
Is what you call them. And they're just like, man, this is gonna be great. I'm just gonna drop this in. This is gonna be cool. I like check out this system. Yeah. Blah 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 blah. And they're just
And you're like, give me a roll to sink my teeth into.
I'm like, the credit. That rolls when you beat a video game. That rolls at the end of the film, and then you just have your name there. No picture, no nothing. Just one of the guys that was working on that wasn't enough for me.
Yeah,
I was like, that's not enough fulfillment for me. I'm out.
That's true for all the work.
Look at me
for all the work you've put in and everything. Yeah, I hear you. So you moved to LA. Had you been here before, or was this like you moved the first time?
Yeah, I got extremely lucky. I was talking to my cousin at the time, and she was in school in Pittsburgh, and she just basically was already going to school for drama, and then she ended up crossing paths with an agent that saw her work out there and told her to move to LA, and she just quit school and moved to LA, and he signed her, and then I was talking to her. All that happened at the same time, so she moved out a little bit earlier in 2000 and in 2008, around the summer of 2008, and then I came out, and as a result of her being out there and knowing a little bit of the scenario, and then I lived with her for about 3 months before I came out, and that's Marisha Ray. Uh-huh. She's been really successful, and she's a part of a company that does Dungeons and Dragons campaigns and all kinds of stuff on the internet. It's a Critical Role. And they recently just signed a deal. That's an official deal with Dungeons and Dragons. And
wow,
they're doing really good. They're pioneering the whole thing as it's happening. So they're on the edge of the final frontier.
Well, good. You gotta be ahead of. So that's like video games also. The Dungeons and Dragons we're talking
that's
about.
That's the grandfather of video games,
right?
Is Dungeons and Dragons because it's
but pen, it used to be offline, right?
It's pen and paper. You're doing it, and then you have your little board and stuff. That's like a little Monopoly board, but it's sectioned out into little quadrants, and you have your guy that's the dungeon master, and he's the guy that's setting up what's happening to all the players that are in the game. So the Dungeon Master basically acts as the computer does whenever you're playing a computer fantasy game. Right. So he'll tell you what the roles are. When you roll the dice, you roll your 20-sided dice or your 100-sided dice.
Wow.
And
100-sided dice? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How did they make
one?
What
does that even look like?
Yeah, I know.
It looks like a ball.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But with 100 sides.
Wow.
Like pretty Epcot, cool. If you imagine what Epcot is, you know what Epcot
yeah.
is
yeah,
in
yeah,
Orlando,
yeah.
Florida?
I used to work at Disney.
Did you really?
I did.
Were you a Disney princess?
No, I wasn't there long enough to be a fur. Oh, thank you. I would be more Ursula than anything. That's who I'd want to be. I'd want to be like the villain always. Never the princess, always the villain.
Those poor, unfortunate souls.
I know. I have a pretty good evil laugh. But did you ever get a chance to do any voiceover on the video games?
I didn't. I've done a couple little voiceover projects for people here and there, but sometimes I can and sometimes I can't, so I just have to see.
Yeah.
You know.
That's very sweet, yeah.
Very cool. So, now, what did you do next? You knew you wanted to be in movies? Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you get yourself an agent or a manager or something? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you got to do. You've got to find an agent. You got to have people that are representing you and vouching for you. Otherwise, like, who are you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody's going to even open the doors for you, right?
Right. I mean, that's what opening the door is. And like Gary Vee says, sometimes opening the door is kicking down the door, So you have to kind of be a rogue in a certain way to get things happen. But you also, at a certain point, you have to do things the way that it's been engineered. And you have to go. You don't reinvent the wheel on certain things. Like you at some point you have to,
play the game.
Correct.
So, yeah.
With
yeah.
the players of the game.
Right. By the rules.
Yeah.
With the entourage.
It's a weird time because as we were talking about earlier, things in the industry are so different. So rules are different. And, in finding an agent, sometimes they find you and sometimes you find them, but sometimes submitting yourself, like a lot of agencies don't take in-person submissions anymore, as opposed to they used to just take like walk-ins. People could just walk in and drop off a resume. It's not really like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't do cold calling with them?
I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want, but it just depends on how they're going to respond to it. Yeah.
Won't work. Wow.
Something has to, like, at some point you have to do something. Like, there are rogue ways. Like, I tell people, I say, if you want to get out there, I said, get your IMDb Pro account and get your, even if you're not on there yet, just buy the account and make your name, and then they can attach you later to the project. But go down the list of 100 agents and just submit to 100, and maybe you'll get 5 responses back.
Right.
You know, it's a numbers game, and they like for people who are
very
persistent.
Competitive. Yeah. So did you start booking jobs then? I mean, was the agent able to get you some work? Did that take a while?
I've gotten a little bit of work. I haven't had like a lot of like really prominent like television roles. I've been on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of times.
Nice.
But you can self-submit now also. So you get your, on Actors Access, which is the actor's side of what they call the breakdowns, which is breakdown services. So that's the Actors Access to breakdown services.
I see.
So that's their site. So you don't get to see all the, the high end, the Star Wars 9 and, Spider-Man 8 and all that stuff yet. So and then you're just, but sometimes like, you're able to get on some of these projects and you don't know what's going to come out of it. And then it's just some independent project and then it blows up.
Right.
Totally.
Such as, Mulholland Drive,
Right.
And, you hit, of course that's, it's a numbers game. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways, but yeah, I mean, you get agents and then you start getting roles for Army Wives and different ones, different television shows that are current, which Army Wives is canceled now, but.
So television is easier to get into than movies, right?
Really now it's all the same.
Really?
It's all the same. I mean, you get actors even such as drawing a blank here.
Like once they're doing crossover and
right,
stuff.
Like Henry Cavill's doing The Witcher now, but it's like The Witcher is based off of a video game that originally came out of Poland and it's doing great numbers, and he was Superman in the movies and he's on television doing a show, and so of course, he's getting paid his wage, and people just want to see a different platform. They want to see television as a movie that kind of goes on a little bit longer and has a little bit more room for character arc, dips and valleys and stuff.
TV's changed so much.
Yeah. It really has. It's a lot more professional.
Cinema.
Yeah, cinematic more.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And there used to be that weird battle between TV actors and film actors where film actors were more serious, quote unquote.
That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, totally. But now, I mean, like Handmaid's Tale. I mean, it all kind of started with like 6 Feet Under and The Sopranos. That was kind of like a monumental changing time in television, and it's just been going and going and going since then.
Right.
I mean, Game of Thrones, like I have friends that every Sunday had like Game of Thrones parties just to watch,
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a different
world. I couldn't get into that show, but actually I never tried, so.
Yeah, I had a hard time with it myself. Yeah.
I saw the pilot episode, and it was really great, but the TV is just, it's difficult for me because I'm like, I just have a hard time, people say I'm going to binge watch this, I'm thinking.
Right. How do you commit
to? I got shit to do.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you commit to something like that?
It's hard.
I know.
Yeah. I tried getting into Castle Rock, which is a series on Hulu, and that was pretty good, the first chapter, but it's based on Stephen King characters and stuff, not really on his books, but like they got the Shawshank prison there and names of people.
It's kind of like a clash of all his worlds.
That's
interesting.
I know, so we'll see. Maybe I'll watch another one or two. But at any rate, so you have your resume online, and you've done quite a bit of work, I mean, you've kept busy, and that's good. And we're going to talk about the movie that you're promoting now, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's called Daria?
Yes, sir.
And so this movie is a Czech movie, right? From the Czech Republic.
Yes, sir.
And how did you find that gig? I mean, why you're the lead in it, right?
No, I'm not. No, you're not the lead. I'm supporting.
Oh, okay. But
it's a lead character. I mean, I'm on the poster and stuff. So
right.
Well, my name's on the poster, and so yeah, it's.
So tell us a little bit about this. I mean, you said you had to. You didn't really learn the language. You just learned it phonetically, right?
Correct.
So, but you knew what you were saying because you got the translation of the movie, right? So
correct.
You knew what was going on and everything. But was it filmed there in Europe?
Yes, it was. It was filmed mostly in Prague.
Oh,
a couple locations outside of Prague.
So you relocated there for how long? How long did the job take for you?
Well, the job was actually going on for around 3 months. It was kind of spread out, so I was pretty much over there for about 3 months, 4 months.
Wow.
I had traveled back for Christmas. We shut down. This was 2016, 2017, over that Christmas period there.
Right.
And it was...
So this took a while to bring it to fruition, huh?
Yes.
Started 2016.
Started in 2016, principal photography.
Right.
Late October.
Right. But it seems like a pretty, they put in a lot of effort, money into it, right? I mean, there's like special effects.
Yeah.
And a lot of cool stuff. I mean, so this is like a story that's what, taken out of a comic book? Because there's a lot of comic stuff in it, right?
Correct.
So the original is a comic book.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily originally a comic book. There's parts that have been made into a comic book. So
I see.
That was part of the idea. It's kind of like Kill Bill, if you will. They have some of the cut scenes and stuff,
right?
You know, are coming in. This is almost kind of like as what I like to say, Sin City meets A Beautiful Mind. That's kind of one way I like to describe the film.
Yeah.
So
it does have that Sin City feel to it, mm-hmm. for sure.
It's a neo-noir.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, beautiful lead actress there. Now, what was your role in the film?
I play Taz, which is short for, you know, as any of you that watched the Saturday morning cartoons as a kid, the Tasmanian Devil.
Right.
And...
So that's what they refer to when they debut right. Taz in the movie?
Tasmanski Chert.
Oh, wow.
So, but his name's Tomasz. And, he comes from a past where he's got kind of a sordid past that kind of gives him that temperament. But he is a Thai boxer from South Prague that ends up coming across Marek, which is the... a psychologist who comes to contact with the pharmacist, which is Daria.
Okay.
Which is the lead, and they go on a lovely first date, and then she disappears. And he's going, what in the hell is happening? And then his mother, who runs the psych ward, says, we've got this girl in here, and he finds out. He's like,
wow.
Secretly,
yeah.
He doesn't tell his mom.
But he knows
was the girl
is.
That... I just went on a date with, so he's like,
"Whoa!"
And so he keeps it secret from his mom, so that he can become her doctor, so he can help her.
Oh, wow! Mm. Is he a doctor in the first place?
Yes,
okay.
he's a psychologist. Psychologist, and he works at the ward, which is his mother runs. It's a actual location there in Prague called Bonice.
Okay,
and.
And then he's probably trying to figure out what's going on the rest of the movie, why she's there, who she is, and everything, right?
Correct. And he starts finding out that, you know, she's got a lot of paranoid delusions and, you know, schizophrenia.
He didn't suspect any of that on the date.
He didn't expect any of that on the date.
Okay.
He thought she was really interesting. She just kind of wanted to get past all the BS, and she started talking about, I'm not putting on a facade, so that I'd rather get down to the point and figure out if we're going to be interested in each other or not, and not go through the 3 month honeymoon process of,
right.
of lies and theater,
yeah.
you know, of when you first meet someone, well, I'm trying to be this guy. Look at me. I'm in a business suit.
Hey, right. I'm amazing.
I'm amazing. And I have all my shit together. So after going through that process, he finds out that there's actually more to it. He's a man of science, and he starts reasoning and saying, well, I think actually she's possessed by the devil.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And of course you see the devil.
And he's a doctor. I mean, he's like...
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So he's like, she's really... Maybe she is possessed by the devil. And of course you see the devil in the trailer and stuff. But then you start finding out there is somebody that's watching her.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a pretty cool movie, huh?
Devil from my everything. Nightmares.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Wow. So this is a full feature, right?
Yes, sir.
A long movie. And so now the lead actors there, are they pretty known in the Czech Republic, or are they kind of obscure?
Jerry Schmitzer is very well known. Carol Dobry's very well known. Clara's coming up very well. Clara Miklasova's coming up very well. Of course, she's the lead. And, of course, you got Mira Nosek in there. He's very prominent over there. And then we also had a Polish star, Paweł Delag. And he's known. He's done a lot of stuff in Poland and in Russia. And his first project was Schindler's List over here.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And had a lovely scene with him, and he's a nice guy. Everybody was extremely nice. I don't have really a lot of status as far as myself, but I just happened to be the American that was on the project. And for whatever reason, they just wanted to have a couple of other actors and make it an international project. So they brought Pavel in. Pavel also spoke phonetical Czech. And they told him that, you know, his voice would be overdubbed the same as me. And so we both learned our lines phonetically, which in his case, it was a little bit easier because Czech is a little bit closer to Polish.
Right.
So, but nonetheless, it's still difficult. It could be even more difficult for him, possibly, because you're thinking that you're going to go back into that, and then you have to, okay, well, this has to be Czech. So that's the danger there. For me, I just had to basically learn magic words like Klata, Varata, Nikto. Hopefully I didn't mess this up in some of the demons. You know,
it's okay. We would know, but...
Right.
You would not
the
know
Czech
at all.
Czech people would, but, you know. So, now, why did they pick an American actor to do this part? I mean, was the part an American? Because you're saying it's...
He's from South Prague, so they would know immediately if I didn't have a very specific Southern Prague accent.
Right.
Yeah, Jižní město.
But why did they choose it in the first place? Why did they just choose a Czech actor for that?
I don't know.
Because you're good.
Well, no, I know. Well, they saw that I was good. It all happened because I was friends with the Czech makeup artist that played the devil in the film.
Oh, okay.
I was out on Hollywood Boulevard street performing in my Iron Man costume, which cost around $5,000.
Really?
It's a Mark III replica from the first movie, Iron Man 2008.
Wow.
And I was standing out there one weekend, and Stan Winston Schools came out, which Stan Winston Studios, Stan Winston, which is now deceased.
Right.
His son was out there, Matt Winston, and was doing a promotion for Geek Week, YouTube Geek Week, with Wired, in collaboration with Wired, and they had their Wired mech out there. And this thing is like a 7-foot-tall robot that has four arms. So the lower arms are human arms that are connected to electrodes, which make the upper arms mimic.
Oh, I see. Okay. Below.
And so this thing has been in like Capital One commercials, and it's like, you know, the guy's driving the motorcycle and the Wired mech is sitting in the sidecar, and he's like, I don't know about this. And so, but they saw me out there and they were like, oh my God, this is a replica of my dad's work. And we'd love to feature you in the video. And so I said, sure. I mean, it's an honor, of course.
Right.
And we did all the promo. It made it to YouTube and got, you know, sub-viral hits and stuff. And they put my name on there. And so I followed them on social media. Later on, following Stan Winston Schools, they share FX Creator, which is Vlad Topeš and Josef Rarak. And that's the Czech crew that actually did all the makeup in the movie Daria. But they said... I said, you know, I love your guys' work, because they do full body prosthetics, like you see the devil in the trailer. I mean, it's full body prosthetics, super, super intricate work,
right.
And just beautiful. It looks like, you know, like Labyrinth or any of these other crazy movies and stuff we saw as kids, you know, Hellraiser or anything like that. And I just commented on it. I said, you know, you guys ought to work out in Hollywood And if you guys need to come out here to do anything, you know, we'll take pictures of my Iron Man costume and then we'll go get a beer and, you know, whatever I can do to help.
Right.
I will. Because I just love their work. And a month later, a Czech production company asked them if they knew any American actors.
Oh, wow. There you go.
It's funny how it works out sometimes.
Yeah, you got to be there. You got to be out there.
You have to be there. Yeah. That's
you
the
have
thing.
To reach out. I know.
So it was a combination of me being in Hollywood, me making the decision in 2010 to get the armor, which you couldn't find replica armor like that at that time. That was the only.
Really? How much was it worth, did you say? How much did it cost?
I basically, when I had it commissioned, it was $1,500, and then I paid another $1,500 to complete it.
Right.
So that was at $3,000, and then I later bought an upgrade, which got like modified the hands and modified the torso a little bit more, and that was another $1,200 upgrade.
Wow. So do you have pictures of you in the suit?
I do.
Let me see. I mean, I'm really curious to see it. Iron Man.
Right,
wow, I love it. That would be cool, right?
It's amazing how networking works.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Paul Lewis Harrell. He's an actor. He's starring in the movie Daria, which is a Czech neo-noir psycho thriller. And it's about the pharmaceutical industry, mental health, and mafia fear. So you're playing a Thai boxer. That's like...
There's the Iron Man. There's the Mark III.
Wow. That looks pretty real, man.
I added a little bit of like a black hairspray so that it comes off on there for a little bit of like battle damage in that one.
Right.
Yeah,
take a look. So you were standing on Hollywood Boulevard and doing this?
Oh, that's so incredible.
Yes, I did with all the rest of the weirdos out there.
Yeah. Do you make any money that way? No.
I used to.
Yeah.
I used to before all the riffraff came into town. But that's why Jimmy Kimmel made fun of him so much. And that's actually how I ended up on Kimmel.
Really?
Was in the Iron Man. And then we had a nice little short thing. And then there was a young boy that was dealing with cancer. And he had me come on. And Iron Man was his favorite superhero, Supermax. And I gave him 4 tickets to Disneyland. And that was that second bit that I was on there for.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's really cool. So nice.
Really yeah, cool. That's really nice. Very cool. So now if you guys want to see, I guess there's a trailer on the movie's website. It's called, the website is Daria, D-A-R-I-A, .movie, and you'll be able to see it there. If you want an English subtitle trailer, go to Vimeo, and I guess just look up the name of the movie, Daria.
Yeah, just type in Daria, E-N-G. For the English.
For English version.
Yeah.
And
or you could go to my page and see it.
Right. Now, was this submitted for any awards out here and stuff?
Currently, right now, we're looking at the film festival market. And right now, we're eyeing Cannes. And we'll see what happens. A lot of things are happening very quickly. There's already a lot of talks for distribution, but no deals have been made yet outside of the Czech Republic.
Right. But it seems like a pretty well-made movie. You know, I mean, I look at the trailer and...
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's just as professional.
I hate to say that, but it was...
Just as professional as anything coming out of Hollywood, you know? Mm-hmm. Filmed very nice, very, you know, in dramatic color, and the acting is pretty good, you know? And I fell in love with the actress there. She's pretty beautiful, man.
Hey, she is, man.
Right?
What's your number?
What's her name again?
Klara Miklasova.
Carla Miklasova. I'll have to remember that when I go check.
Clara Miklasova.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. We had one scene in the film, and I'm supposed to be looking at her with disgust in this one scene. And she just had this face that was just... This face that just, it affected me. And I remember looking at her, and it was just like...
Fell in love.
Well, I was just like, I couldn't really make the face of disgust. It was like, it was more like, the emotion was more like, it's like it was, it's just, it's a shame. It was like, it was a shame that all this has had to happen and you're in this situation now. And I told her afterwards, I said, it was just an amazing, I was like, the way that you made me feel in that scene, it was just so, it was so real. And she's like, well, isn't that why we're all doing this?
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, and wow. Actually, right. Yeah.
Right. How were you guys communicating in English?
We would communicate in English after
right, not in the movie. Stuff,
but in the movie, like, I mean, I know what she's saying, you know, because right. I had to study all that to understand
right,
you know,
right.
the role and how I'm interacting and what I'm reacting to in what they're saying. So I,
right.
you know,
but off camera and stuff, you guys correct. Would communicate in English,
correct?
Because they can't expect everybody to speak Czech, but English is more international and stuff. So, yeah.
But I was the only, yeah. I was the only.
American
there. Guy there, so I was listening to Czech, and I'm like,
"Yeah, I know. I'm you like, have to be left out of the conversation."
Can I raise my hand?
Right.
Here. What did he say? Oh, don't worry. You don't need to worry about it. And so many times they were like, "Oh, don't worry. You don't need to worry about it." I'm like,
right? Yeah. Actually, I do.
That's when you should worry is when they say, "Don't worry."
Yeah.
I just had to let it go. You know, you just had to let it go.
Yeah.
So they say that the 12th step of the Chubbuck method is let it go.
Mm. Yeah.
That makes sense. But
it's a tough and rewarding thing to do.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice movie, Feather in Your Cap, you know.
Thank I mean, you.
And
it was challenging.
Yeah, sure, you know, but now you can it's going to be on the screens and everything. Why did it take him so long? Was that like a budgetary thing or?
I mean, sometimes I mean, there's a budgetary thing, and sometimes it's just there's just a lot of I mean,
a lot of work.
It's like, have you ever heard of like the Miracle of Life? You know, the Miracle of Life. You know, the woman is you know from you know conception goes all the way to through 9 months of things where data. Information has to be passed through
right,
the body
right.
for the child to form in the perfect way, and it has to be just perfect. You know, everything has to happen perfectly. If any steps are left out, you know, it's a bad yeah. result. And film is the same way. I mean, it's such like, have you ever seen a movie where like everything's really good and then there's one scene or there's one actor that doesn't quite do it for you and you just yeah. it takes you out.
I've directed things like that.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. It's tough.
It
you
happens,
know, it's,
yeah.
So many things have to happen just exactly right. I mean, right. even from the all the aspects of making films, each department, you know, from wardrobe all the way to, you know, post production, editing, color correction, and it's just, you know, there's just things that, you know, I don't know anything about as far as a production end.
You right. know.
So it's just it's hard.
Take time. Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes it's just a matter of like an actor being in their head or they're like nervous about this particular scene mm-hmm. and nerves sometimes can fuel your scene or they can really hurt your scene, you know, and right. then it's all about budget and timing. Like sometimes you just don't have the time to really sit there in a rehearsal and you have this conversation with the actor like, okay, like. It's like everything's fine, you
yeah,
know, like
yeah.
no need for panic. Like we're all here. We're all rooting for each other. And sometimes you just can't get out of your head.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It's a psychological oh, well. Business.
Sayonara, sucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul Lewis Herald, if you guys want to check him out, the website is paullewisherald.com. And you can see some of your stuff here. I wanted to ask you, what's next for you? Do you have anything in the near horizon that you could?
I have a couple things that are going on. I did last year. I did a little project actually before I did the stage play, which is called Commonwealth. That's about poverty in Kentucky, and I went back to Kentucky and was working with director Hunter Curry. To achieve this goal, which I had, you know, full beard and longer hair and everything for, and I'm playing this kind of crass redneck guy that's in organized crime.
Really?
And the idea of that one is about, you know, poverty is the mother of crime.
Right.
You know, and, you know, poor people have poor ways and they're getting poor information to make their decisions off of. And it's like, oh, well, I think maybe doing some crime to get a little bit of money is not actually that far off of something creative that I could come up with to make money.
Sure.
So that's I got that going on. And then another project that I'm working on is with Ray Rudy. And that's about Martin Luther King. Of course, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day yesterday, but this is involving I'll be playing James Earl Ray.
Oh, wow.
Which was the shooter.
Right.
But it's taking a different take on it, which is showing that maybe James Earl Ray was not the shooter.
Oh.
And maybe it was the government that was to blame for which is, I can't go into too much detail on it.
Always good conspiracy to blame the government.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there is a CIA and there is an FBI. So, I mean,
very true.
There are things that go on. And
probably groups we don't even know about.
And they don't like it whenever, you know, WikiLeaks come out and or Edward Snowden does what he does. And, you know, kind of disrupts things, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So can people find you on Instagram?
Absolutely. It's Paul Lou Harrell.
Okay.
On Instagram, so.
Great.
And Twitter and all that.
Yeah, other places too, Twitter, Facebook, all that
stuff. Yeah, you just type in my name on Google and I'll pop up there.
Sounds
good. Smiling
face. Yeah, there you go. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
for reaching out. He reached out to me on Facebook, which was nice.
Amazing.
So I invited him over. And
thanks for having me.
Of course. And we wish you a lot more success in the future. I want to watch the movie just to see you and the beautiful woman there, you know? and the
mostly the beautiful woman.
Well, yeah, but I can't tell Paul that, you know. So
we have the trailer, if you notice, the trailer is a little bit European there. There's a small moment in the trailer where there's a little...
Oh, yeah, there's a little boobies. Okay. Boobage.
There's a little boobage.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
They weren't little. Clara, I love you, honey.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I'll have to check it out again. But, thank you. I mean, it was, I'm sure, a good experience for you going through this.
I'm so happy to go back and to see them all back when the premiere is going to be on the 27th of January. I'm getting ready to fly out there. And go do that. I'll be doing the premiere and then press junkets on the 28th and stuff. So I'm super excited to go back and reunite with my my Daria family.
Well, maybe you'll end up being big in the Czech Republic. You know, some I know just like some basketball stars, they come from America, they go to some obscure country and they become big. You know,
yeah,
it's amazing. But
very cool.
Find your niche, you know? That's what they say.
Exactly.
That's true. It finds you.
Yeah.
It does.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Sam.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.